B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, good morning, Philadelphia. Andrew Salchunas in for Anthony for the brief moment. There, every single road coming into Philadelphia seems to be flooded right now. So Anthony will be here in a few minutes. You know, a lot of people dealing with the traffic. I was dealing with the traffic coming in today. Manayunk was completely flooded. All kinds of areas in Philadelphia flooded today. So Anthony will be here momentarily. And we'll get in a lot of stuff today because we have four games in Philadelphia today. Four games will be played in Philadelphia today, two with the Phillies because of their doubleheader. We have the Union tonight in the semifinals at 8 o'clock, and of course, the Sixers will play their third game live from the bubble in Orlando today. So it's going to be a crazy day throughout the day with all kinds of sports action, and also outside of Philadelphia, of course. But tomorrow, we have the Flyers returning. But today, four different games. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be interesting to see how a lot of you kind of handle your sports day because I'm going to try to watch every single one. And I know Anthony's going to try to watch every single one, too. And you start right at 4 o'clock where both the Sixers and Phillies are on at the same time. And as I've talked about multiple times, Sixers take precedence right now because they're gearing up for the playoffs and there's still so many question marks. There's still so many unknowns when it comes to this team. And because the Phillies have that terrible bullpen, but the Sixers will take precedence. And it's going to be interesting to see how a lot of you handle the 4 o'clock start. Do you do the TV for one game, the laptop for the other? That's what I'll end up doing. And then tonight it'll be the second game of the Phillies doubleheader. And then of course the Union game starts at 8 o'clock. So busy day throughout Philadelphia sports, an exciting day throughout Philadelphia sports. And it's all coming out of nowhere, right? We went 4 months, 4 months with no sports. We were dying for sports. Now, the Union came back first. MLS came back first before any other of the four major sports. If you want to go five majors, MLS came back first. So it's been nice to have some soccer. But now that all of a sudden the Phillies are back and they go 8 days without playing because of everything that happened with the Miami Marlins, but now they're back and they're going to have to play doubleheaders, it seems like, every other week or every week because they got to finish the 60 games in what used to be 65 days. Now it's, what, 56 games left in about 54 days? It's going to be something crazy for the Phillies that they're going to have to try to accomplish, and hopefully everybody can stay healthy and remain healthy. And, you know, I watched Jake Arrieta's press conference the other day after their loss to the Yankees, and he talked about how well everybody in the Phillies have been following the health protocol. So that's good. So hopefully the Phillies do their part and continue to remain, you know, safe and healthy and can get back to action and not have another halt. Now, of course, it depends on what teams around the league are also doing. The St. Louis Cardinals are having a lot of issues. Yadier Molina, the big name, testing positive for COVID-19 with St. Louis. And you then have to look at, all right, who have St. Louis played? They played Minnesota. And that's going to be the same thing. You're going to have to find out if contact tracing is really hurtful in Major League Baseball. Now, hopefully, the Phillies sort of set that precedence where even though there are 18 members of the Miami Marlins who tested positive, there were no members of the Phillies who tested positive. So that's a good sign for Major League Baseball. Hopefully it remains that way. But now all of a sudden we have baseball, we have basketball, hockey has already started, and we have another game from the Toronto bubble tomorrow for the Flyers. But it seems like we're going to have a lot of these days where there's 2 to 3 to 4 games because of Phillies doubleheaders. And we're going to have to get ready for it. And we're going to have to get used to it. Because as Anthony keeps on saying, we are a 4-for-4 town. And we follow all four of these teams basically religiously. So now, you know, listen, giddy up, right? Gear up, be ready, make sure you're paying attention to all these sports. And today's a big day with all four teams being played. Another interesting conversation that we're going to have throughout the show today. And I was watching Sports Rise this morning on NBC Sports Philadelphia. And it was a conversation that Derek Gunn was having with Barrett Brooks on Quick Slants. And it was the idea of needing to quarantine a quarterback. And it's because, you know, if you see one area of the locker room, the wide receiver room, the quarterback room, the D front room, when one person gets it, and we saw this with the Miami Marlins, we've seen this with the St. Louis Cardinals, COVID-19 spreads pretty quickly. We've seen this, you know, it's documented. So what happens if it's in the quarterback room? Well, you might have a quarterback factory, as Howie Roseman so famously said, but if one guy gets it, it's going to be pretty quick when you have 4 or 5 that get it. So they're talking about the idea of putting a quarterback in quarantine. And Barrett Brooks mentioned doing it with Nate Sudfeld because obviously you need Carson Wentz to get his reps, his first team reps. He's the franchise quarterback. He's got a rookie wide receiver in Jalen Reagor. He's got to get used to DeSean Jackson because he only had him for a game and a half last year. He's got two other rookies in Quez Watkins and Hightower. So there's a lot of rookies out there, a lot of new guys that Carson Wentz has to get comfortable with. So you can't just have Carson Wentz be the one that's quarantined. And you can't do it with Jalen Hurts because Jalen Hurts is a rookie quarterback who needs to learn the system. And all the other quarterbacks that they have in this faux quarterback factory, I mean, they're not even going to make the team really anyway, but they have to figure things out. Nate Sudfeld was Barrett Brooks' decision choice of the quarterback that you need to quarantine because he at least knows the offense. Because again, if Carson Wentz, God forbid, gets COVID-19, it could be quickly passed on to Jalen Hurts. And then Jalen Hurts could quickly pass it on to the next quarterback. And then all of a sudden you have no quarterback for week one on September 13th. And it's kind of is it terrible to think this way, or is it a strategic way to think about it? And I guess it's more so strategic that you have to have one guy just sort of hangs out and is called upon if necessary. And maybe that's Nate Sudfeld. Derek Gunn, on the other hand, said you shouldn't do it because everybody needs to get their reps in anyway, and you kind of just have to, I guess you could say, risk it. But it's going to be interesting to see how the Eagles or how any team really handles this. Is there going to be an alert that we get that so-and-so, this team is quarantining so-and-so player, so-and-so quarterback, so that just in case something happens, they are ready to go? That's the kind of dark waters that we're swimming in right now. We're trying to figure out everything that goes along in the process leading up to the NFL season. So we're going to get into that as well as the crazy sports schedule that we have today. Again, this is Andrew Salchunas. Anthony will be in momentarily. The weather yesterday, which we'll talk about that too, I'm sure. The weather yesterday just completely destroying, you know, ways to get into Philadelphia today. And a lot of people dealing with that. 676 has been an absolute mess. Other roads have been closed. I know I had to turn around three different times yesterday leaving work, and I had to turn around two different times coming back to work today because there's trees down everywhere. So hopefully everybody is safe. Hopefully everybody's commute is going as safely as possible. So Anthony will be in here momentarily, and we'll talk about all kinds of stuff. We're going to get into the crazy schedule in Philadelphia sports today. Again, Sixers at 4 o'clock, Phillies at 4 o'clock. Phillies playing a doubleheader. It's the 7-inning doubleheader, the first time we'll see the Phillies do that. And I'm sure we'll get into whether or not you like that. 7 innings. It's going to be weird. I've seen sort of mixed reaction to it. One person said on the MLB Network, I forget who it was, might have been Harold Reynolds, I forget who said it, but he made a decent point. You know, how many times do you see a doubleheader where half the usual starting lineup is not playing in game one or game two? And the reason why is because they can't play 18 innings, God forbid. I've played like 21 innings in a day. But now, because it's going to be only 14 innings, because it's 2 7-inning games, maybe you'll see the everyday starting lineup in both games, aside from maybe the catcher. Maybe JT Realmuto catches game one, but because you have the DH this year, the universal DH, he plays DH in game two, or he plays first base in game two. JT Realmuto has talked about in the past where he'd rather play in the field than just DH because something that it keeps him more, I don't know, mentally focused. I don't know. Baseball players are weird. I was one of them. We are weird people. We're a weird breed. But today will be the first day that we see the 2 7-inning games for the Phillies because of the doubleheader against the New York Yankees. The Yankees will be the home team in game one. The Phillies will be the home team in game two. It's basically like your Sunday men's beer league rules where one team's the home team in game one, one team's the home team in game two, but they're both going to be played at Citizens Bank Park. So it's going to be strange for a lot of people to see first pitch today at 4 o'clock where the Phillies are actually batting first at Citizens Bank Park. But that's the crazy schedule. You got the Sixers at 4 o'clock against the Wizards, the Phillies, the doubleheader, and then you have the Union tonight at 8 o'clock in the semifinals, and if they win, they will move on to the finals on August 11th. So we got room for our Union today as well. 5 for 5 town, as Anthony points out. The number to get in today is 610-632-0975. Other things that we're going to get into today, Chris Terrien will join the show at 11:30. He's going to talk some hockey, talk some Flyers after their big win against the Bruins, the 4-1 win on Sunday. They get ready to play the Caps tomorrow. The Caps actually lost to the Lightning in overtime the other day. So right now, the Lightning are tied with the Flyers for first place in this round-robin tournament. They both got 2 points. The Caps got the all-important point, getting into overtime, so they have 1 right now. Bruins in dead last with 0. And Anthony mentioned it, but I don't necessarily agree. You got to kind of just play the team that's ahead of you. So to me, the round-robin tournament is important for the Flyers because you can avoid Pittsburgh in round one. And I get it. If your confidence is sky high, you don't care who you're facing if you're the Philadelphia Flyers. But to me, if you can avoid Pittsburgh in round one, I hope that they can move up. I hope that they can move up to that top seed or that second seed or that third seed and avoid playing Pittsburgh in round one. Pittsburgh currently the 5 seed. So if the Flyers can do that, go for it. I want you to be the highest seed that you can possibly be so that you can lock in a first round win. To me, and we talked about this last week when we talked about the minimum amount of success the Flyers need to have for us to ultimately call it a success this season. A lot of people saying it's already a success because they exceeded a lot of people's expectations coming into this round robin tournament as the 4th seed, the 4th best team in the Eastern Conference. But really, I mean, let's face it. The Flyers, you can change your expectations as the season goes on. And I know the stoppage was weird. It's something that we're not used to. But the Flyers are still going to be the higher seed in the first round of the playoffs. No matter who they are facing, they're going to be the higher seed. So if the Flyers are the 4th seed, yeah, you know what? They'll still be the higher seed than the Pittsburgh Penguins, who will be coming in as the 5th seed. But I see so many hockey analysts say the one team that any team would want to try to avoid facing in round one or any round, really, is the Pittsburgh Penguins. They think that the Pittsburgh Penguins, who still have a lot of their veteran guys, star players who have made huge impacts throughout the NHL during their careers, well, they've been rested. So there's the statement you can make, well, the Flyers have the younger, fresher legs. They're going to be able to get right back into playing shape right away, and the older guys might not be able to handle that. But with a scrimmage that the Penguins already played against the Flyers, they're playing in their 5-game best-of-5 series. So they're going to have their skating legs not fully underneath them, but they're going to be underneath them. And if that's the case, these veterans that are now going to be back into skating shape, back into playing shape, and they're still the Pittsburgh Penguins, if you can avoid playing them in round one and hopefully somebody else can eliminate them, or if they eliminate somebody else and maybe you have to face them later down the road, I'm okay with that. I want the Flyers to move up in this round robin tournament. To me, try to get the best matchup that you can possibly get in round one, the easiest matchup that you can possibly get, because for a lot of these young guys, it's going to be the first time that they are in the Stanley Cup playoffs, in the real Stanley Cup playoffs. I know they're trying to determine or term the round robin a part of the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's not. For me, it's when you finally get into a series, that's when the Stanley Cup playoffs begin. So for a lot of these young Flyers players, it's going to be the first series that they play in. And if they can get a better matchup and just sort of get their experience and get those that first round jitters away from them, and it's not against the Pittsburgh Penguins, where the Penguins can beat you up if you have these jitters, right? I'd rather face a weaker team, a lesser team for the Flyers in round one, get that first round of playoff experience under your belt, and then maybe you can go on a bit of a run. So I hope the Flyers continue to win. They got the Capitals tomorrow night. Again, Capitals with the only team in the Eastern Conference. They have 1 point because they lost to the Lightning in overtime. The Bruins, the only team in the Eastern Conference round robin tournament without a point. But the Flyers currently tied with Tampa Bay with 2 points, and hopefully that can continue for the Flyers. 610-632-0975. If you're just tuning in, Anthony will be here momentarily. There's a lot of traffic, obviously, all over the place because of the weather yesterday. 676 has been closed. All these exits have been closed. I know people have been dealing with it all day long. So Anthony will be here momentarily. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the brief period. I will then slide into my producer chair where the great Dylan McKinnon is currently keeping it warm for me. Thank you, Dylan. So I will be there momentarily. Anthony will be here momentarily. So a lot to get into today. Again, the number to get in is 610-632-0975. As my man is walking in right now to talk about the crazy day, not only in his commute, but the crazy day that is Philadelphia sports with the 4 games that we got. Sixers at 4, Phillies at 4, Phillies doubleheader, weird 7-inning game, and then, of course, the Union tonight at 8 o'clock.
I know. How crazy is it?
I'm so happy, though. I mean, we went through 4 months with no sports, and all of a sudden, bang.
Yeah, it is. Except you have to venture out of your house.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to fly over.
If you have to venture out of your house, don't do it. All right? Trust me. Every road is closed. It's outrageous. The whole city's gridlock. It's a mess. I don't know about you guys, like your storm damage. I got trees down. It feels like it's the apocalypse. It's bizarre. It's absolutely bizarre. Crazy. Just watch yourself. Just FYI, 676 is shut down. You got to get off at Broad Street. So avoid, if you got to get across town, avoid 676. You got to take Vine Expressway. Waze app doesn't have that on there. So that's fresh. You got to just so you guys know. I mean, it's pretty bad out there. So just give yourself extra time. I left my house at 8 o'clock in Malka Hill. It's crazy. Yeah. Absolutely crazy.
Did you have fun?
No.
I didn't think so.
I had to run in because how many times you get stuck somewhere in the car and you know, I had coffee, right? So I drank a gigantic cup of coffee. So then my eyes are starting to turn yellow as I'm sitting in traffic.
It's either traffic or you pass the exit and you go, I can go one more.
I can make it.
And then you're like, oh God, can I turn around on this highway right now?
And like, you know, the best is like, you know, that pain that you feel. That pain, your ego.
You got the seatbelt. You're like, dude, this thing's getting too tight. this thing's pressing up.
And then you start tapping, like you're driving, you're tapping your other foot, right? Like you're like tapping away. All right, let me try to use some of this nervous energy. Let me try to use some of this nervous energy. Get it. Please, let me get there. Oh, crazy. That's all right, because we got sports, and that's the only thing that matters. A big day of games today and tomorrow, man. Flyer hockey tomorrow, right on the station. Flyers and Capitals. Cannot wait for that one. That's at 4 tomorrow. But we got games today. We got Sixers. We'll see how they look. We got 2 in the Phillies for as long as they play. And the Union, which has been the beast of the MLS in the semifinal. So we'll have all that straight ahead to talk about. And I got a training camp thing I got to hit you guys with. Lots to get to. It's Cuz Radio with the Chunas right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And I got to tell you about the Shaper Supply. For over 65 years, it's amazing. They're a local company, right? Right here, family company. They're a Philadelphia-based company, and Shaper Supply has come up strong during the pandemic. Now, they know business owners, and they know that homeowners are charged with keeping their employees and customers and families safe. So check out shapersupply.com. They're going to ship your order directly to your home or business. They have the hottest product on the market, helping America fight the war on Corona. It's called Benefect Botanical Decon 30. Now, it sounds like a weapon, doesn't it? This non-flammable, non-abrasive, non-corrosive, lightly scented cleaner is the perfect disinfectant for nursing homes, right? Barbershops and salons, daycare centers, hospitals, restaurants, classrooms. You know, when you get the kids back to work, back to school. Visit shapersupply.com and learn more about this powerful COVID-19 killing agent. And as we look through the lens of the pandemic, companies like Shapers have emerged to keep us safe with germ-destroying solutions that are affordable and easy to get. The website, again, shapersupply.com. That's Shapers, S-C-H-A-P-E-R-S, supply.com.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 10:30 on this Wednesday morning. Another great sports day. And I'm curious how you guys are navigating this thing. You like it? I love it. I know the Chunas loves it. The only thing, and I'm going to be real, is the baseball thing. I'm kind of lukewarm with it. I've been much more into hockey and hoops. And, you know, I love baseball, and I saw Trout, you know, hit the home run, his first at bat after the new baby. He comes in, announces he is in the starting lineup en route to Seattle, and his first at bat after the new baby hits a home run, which is a great story. But I can't get over the Phillies thing. Like, between the COVID stuff with the Marlins and now the seven-inning doubleheaders, It just feels like, you know, a money grab, and it doesn't feel like, it feels different. And then I look at this team and, you know, with that bullpen, and I just don't know. I don't know how to think when it comes to the Phillies. Like, I miss them and I'm glad they're back, but my focus has been way into Flyers and Sixers. I guess that's normal.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are feeling that way. I don't think you're alone. I think it's going to be intriguing to pay attention to today because it is the seven-inning game. And you have Wheeler and Nola, so, I mean, at least you have the two pitchers, which is nice.
I mean, it's great that, you know, it works to the Phil's advantage, the seven-inning thing. I just think the seven-inning thing is just a bogus. It's just bogus.
It is bogus. And then, you know, Aaron Nola, we all kind of have our concerns with now. So what happens if he goes out there and gets shelled after four innings?
I'll tell you, I am worried about him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the key to their whole rebuild, like, we always talk about the rebuild, and, you know, everything goes in cycles when you're building a team, right? And, you know, Sixers are at a crossroads. The Flyers are strictly on the way up, right? Like, they're smooth sailing. The Phillies, the rebuild has been stagnant. And now, if Nola and Hoskins aren't real, well, then it's almost disastrous.
Yeah, that's two key cogs. And, right, like, you have, hopefully, Howard and Boehm coming up eventually, right? But are Howard and Boehm alone going to win you anything? No, you need Nola and Hoskins, yeah, plus Ozzie and Parker.
And the Phillies, unfortunately, don't deserve the benefit of the doubt with their prospects.
No, like, not at all.
Like, I like what I see and I like what I hear about Boehm and Howard, and I want to think they're real. But again, I thought Hoskins was real until Gabe and Klentak and their analytics bunch completely messed with his head.
Yeah, and speaking of Hoskins and Boehm, right, so we had Jim Salisbury on. He was on with Devon the week you were out, and he said straight up, by the way, you know, Alec Boehm could take over Hoskins by midseason if Hoskins is still struggling. Think about that for a second. Alec Boehm could be your starting first baseman. Not DH, not third base, but your starting first baseman over Rhys Hoskins.
Yeah, that's troublesome. Because you counted on Hoskins to give you a pop at first.
Yeah.
You really needed that. And then it goes square into the lap of Klentak. What has he done? What has he done? What has he produced?
Nothing. Nothing.
I mean, that's the real issue. Like what has he produced other than using Middleton's money to sign Harper and Real and remember, the Real Muto trade was money, right? The Marlins were ready to just, you know, their highest bidder, and it was really about money. They were fortunate to get Real Muto.
Yeah, they weren't going to pay.
And they still haven't signed him long term.
Which is a huge concern of mine.
I mean, lost in the pandemic is how this thing's run. I want to get all excited for Phillies baseball. I love the Phillies. But, again, this thing has not been run well. We talk about you know, it was funny. You and I were just talking about rebuilds for franchises and the road that you go down. Listen, the process wasn't unique. It was just unique in how upfront everything was.
Right.
But the Phillies had their own process. Philly's process lasted part of 12, but really it started in earnest in 13, and it lasted really through now. Right? Up until you signed Harper is when, all right, now it's time to win. But look how long that process was to kind of flip the page and flip the team from that World Series winner.
Yeah, and a lot of these top prospects aren't even in the conversation anymore through these years, right? Like they just got Boehm, what, last year or two drafts ago?
Yeah.
Power, they just got a few drafts ago. The guys that were drafted in 13 and 14 and 15, who should be up now or getting ready to come up with that? No, they should be up now if you're drafted in 2013. But these guys should be up and ready to play. And all these guys, the Cornelius Randolphs of the world, right? Like, you know, they look like they're never going to make it up to Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
And you're right. I mean, you can't just sort of give the benefit of the doubt to their prospects. I think Howard, from what I watched in those inter-squad games, looks electric. But you're right. I mean, you can't just go, hey, he's a lock.
Yeah.
Just look at the Phillies'
we've
history.
We've seen locks before. We thought Don Brown was going to be a lock.
Yeah, true.
Right? I mean, We've had the locks. I thought Hoskins was it. And they screwed him up. And that's part of it. So that kind of dampens. It's interesting how we feel about the four teams, right? We're all in on the Flyers. The Flyers are like sheer joy and excitement.
Yes.
The Sixers are a source of frustration. I still have hope when it comes to the Sixers. The Eagles are in a state of unknown. And the Phillies are, We don't even know what they are. Because you have Major League Baseball at one part of it, and then you have their own, really, inability to build a true contender on the other half. So I think the fan base, and I'm curious of the temperature from everyone when it comes to these four teams.
Yeah, and you mentioned it the other day. You mentioned it yesterday. Phil's Yanks. Like, you were ready to be like, oh, Phil's Yanks. But then, oh, well, the NBA's on. And the Sixers are, I mean, the Sixers were playing it, and they played an hour later. They started at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, and I was squarely on the Sixers.
Yeah, exactly. And you would think Phil's Yankees, you're in.
Like, let me ask you a question. So you had the Sixers-Wizards today at 4 o'clock.
Yep. Sixers are on the big TV. Phil's take laptop. Until the Sixers hopefully take this huge lead at halftime, and then I can make the switch.
Well, you can't make the switch, because if they take the big lead at halftime,
you know the
chances are they're going to blow the lead.
That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, Sixers take precedence at 4 o'clock, you know. I don't know if everybody has the luxury of being able to watch the game on the laptop, which fortunately I could do that with the Phillies. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting what people decide to watch. And then tonight, I mean, Phillies probably won't start the second game. They say 7 o'clock. I know it's seven innings. I'm sure they'll take even longer. Watch, it's gonna be the longest seven inning game you've ever watched.
How do you? It's funny because I was asking somebody and they go, "How do you bet the seven innings?"
I think you look at the starting rotation.
Now, there's no line on it. I haven't seen a line. Have you seen a line?
No, I'll take a look. But you got to go.
I did the Parks app.
We got to go. You got to go starting pitcher
commercial, and I looked at it, and it wasn't up yet.
I would think it'd be the starting pitcher,
but it's
unless you're
weird,
waiting for the
right?
lineups, like yeah.
But it's weird. It's just bogus. I don't know. Seven innings. We're gonna have orange slices in between.
Yeah.
Come
yeah.
on.
I'll go for a Capri Sun.
I mean. I just don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing. All right, let's get to the phones. Greg in Bethlehem, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Gregory!
Hey, guys. I'm excited to see how the seven-inning doubleheader works. You know, I think it's got to work in the Phil's favor because of the lack of bullpen. So, you know, maybe they can steal a couple of games. That would be nice. You know, I think one of the
problems... Let me ask you a question. Do you have the utmost confidence in Nola right now against the against Aaron Judge and against Mike Stanton? I mean, you have the LeMahieu. No. I mean, it's that Yankee lineup, because I don't.
No, I agree. I mean, Nola has, he's made too many mistakes where he left some hangers. And the thing about the Phillies hitters is when the opposing pitchers make a mistake, a lot of times Phillies will foul them off. Yankees put them in the seats. You know, they don't miss the mistakes. So he's got to keep the ball down. He's got to mix it up. And I don't know. Hopefully he'll learn something from the last outing. I still think they're not in game shape fully. And, you know, I think it takes extra effort to keep the ball down.
Yeah, no, you're right. I agree with that. I do. I agree. Hey, how are you watching sports now, Greg? You're a great sports fan. How are you watching? Are you flipping back and forth the NBA, NHL? Do you like it? How do you feel about this?
Well, if I can get multiple games at the same time, I'll toggle back and forth. I mean, if all three teams were playing, I would say that I would toggle back and forth, certainly between the Flyers. I'd probably concentrate on the Flyers and maybe check in on the Phillies and Sixers through the games. But I would definitely concentrate on the Flyers.
Yeah.
You know?
No, they're scintillating, and thank you, brother. They're like, I can't wait until tomorrow. It's amazing. When I sit down to watch them Sunday, and you know what's funny? I'm wondering how the kids are, because my kids, I go, yo, guys, Flyers are on, right? Like, my kids they're still young enough that they don't understand all the schedules and all the nuance that we do. And I'm like, yo, guys, Flyers are on, and they're looking at me like I got seven heads. Now, they've been to quite a few Flyer games, probably more Flyer games than anything. And it just kind of worked out that way. And they're looking at me like, what do you mean, it's August? You know, and I explained to them 100 times about the pandemic and the restart and the bubble and the whole thing. But now they're watching the game with me, and they were like, it's funny, keeping their attention at that age is difficult. And they were into it. Like the Flyers are so much fun. And it's weird because it brings back, it's amazing because they are leading the charge right now in the city.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because you could see them doing something this year.
Right. Right.
You can't really see that much hope with the Sixers right now. The Phillies give you no hope. And like you said a few minutes ago, the Eagles are still an unknown.
Yeah, right. You don't even know if they're going to play.
So, yeah, the Flyers, I mean, you feel great about them. And they come out of the gate with a 4-1 win over a good Bruins team.
They're really good. They're really good. What is it? You know, it's funny. I think back to what you're thirsting for. And last week we played the Super Bowl week and we all got chills, right? We all got chills. Are the Flyers big enough to give you, no, I'm not saying you're going to get Eagles chills, but to draw enough people in a run to make it memorable? And I'm not saying memorable to the core. Like, we're a part of the core, right? The core fans are there and we're talking about it. But I'm wondering, can it be, because of the unique circumstances, can it blossom out and be a big thing in the city?
Bad break for Carter Hart because he had the pad there, but it did go off of Hague's gate. Flyers right back in. Phil Myers with a shot. He scores. Seconds later, Phil Myers gets it right back as he wires one up over the shoulder of Halak, and Philadelphia's up by two again. It's 3-1.
Yes.
You think so?
Yes.
that it'll become it'll mushroom out?
Yeah, I think it'll become, you know how we're Red October back in the day? Not everybody's a baseball fan, but it became Red October. I think we'll have orange and black, what, September? or orange and black October? I could see that.
Can you?
Yeah. That's perfect. Orange and black in October?
It is perfect.
For Halloween.
No, it is perfect.
Let's go.
It is perfect. But I don't know. Can you think that there's going to be that swell outside?
Yes, because we went through 4 months without sport.
But again, take yourself out. But we're core people.
Yes, I get that.
We're core people. I want to talk to people that maybe that you're more of a Sixers, more of an Eagles. I'm looking for people that are intrigued by the Flyers to follow them. So, you know, we joke about brothers in on hockey. Like, seriously, are you guys in on it? Like, are we, do we have, can this thing mushroom out to where it's chills and it's this run and we get behind this team? You remember what happened in St. Louis? Like, that whole city went wild, right? It became a thing. Can the Flyers become a thing here?
If there is a strong chance of success, I think it can.
Because right now, I don't know if I sense the core interest with any sport, right? I sense the core interest even in the NBA. Like, I look at the ancillary people, and I don't think that they're in yet on the games.
I hope so, because you know what, and this is the other way. This is the Flyers fan getting in on the Sixers fan. We had the Stein, right? He was like anti-basketball, anti-Sixers, but the layoff, the four-month layoff, he's like, you know what, I miss sports so much that I'm in on the Sixers now. And I feel like there is going to be people that are basketball and anti-hockey that will be feeling the exact same way, where they're like, wow, I miss sports so much. And you know what, even though hockey isn't my number one, they're the best team. They're the team that can win. They're the team that can bring my city some pride. So I would think that even people that aren't that big on hockey would get behind them.
Yeah, I'm just curious about it, because I still don't know, because it's so new and so different. Like, it's vastly different. Now, you and I are, again, it's the one thing I can tell you, doing this talk show for 20 years, right, is that we live in a bubble. This is, I'm sure of, right? We live in this sports bubble, and we think the whole world lives in this bubble, but in reality, it doesn't. In reality, like, we're looking at schedules, right? And we're looking at and going, oh, let's see. What do we got today? Here we go. NHL, you know, Islanders and Panthers at noon. Like, we're watching that.
Yeah.
Right? NBA, what do we got? The Grizzlies and the Jazz at 2:30. Like, only you and I and our core people would actually pay attention to Nuggets Spurs today at 4:00. What's the next TV game? Here you go. You have like a 6:30 Thunder and the Lakers. Like, we'd watch that game.
Yeah,
we would watch
Chris Paul go up against LeBron.
Right. And, you know, and we're going to watch we'll watch the hockey games and you know, NBC Sports and Network has a full slate of them, right? So we're watching that stuff. But it's such a small, we're such a small minority. The thing that I learned the most is the bubble that we live, because it's all about bubbles these days, our bubble isn't as big as you think. Now, Eagles and football.
Different.
It mushrooms out. Now, when you have any kind of run, it does. But because circumstances are a little different with the August play, I'm hoping that people are diving in.
I think so, just because, again, we're in a tough time, right? So we're looking for that something that's going to boost our spirits up. And the Sixers are not doing that. The Sixers are... wow, it feels good to be complaining about sports again. Whereas the Flyers are giving us the, wow, it feels good to get behind a team again and feel great. Like, there's a different, when your team's winning, there's that feeling. And yeah. I hope that doesn't expand.
As disappointed I am in the Sixers' first two games, I'm not out, right? 4 o'clock, I'm Sixers, Wizards, I'm in, you know, I'm in.
Okay.
I'm in until the end. You know, that's bottom line. Until they go out, whether it's the first round or somehow they get it together and make a run to the finals. It is what it is. But I need to find out from other people. So here's what you need. I'm curious if you're going to jump on the Flyers. I want people that aren't the core to tell me if we can get a groundswell going. Because I want this thing to kind of blow up at the orange and the black. What are you into right now? And give us a report. Tell us how you manage the storm. Damages all around the Delaware Valley. Tell us about your harrowing situation from yesterday. It's Cuz Radio with the Chunas. Got a couple open lines, 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975 is how you reach us.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.